This is Andy Griffith. We're about to meet Bill and Sally Mabry as they come home from work on a Friday evening a little later than usual. You see, they stopped off at a garage sale their friend Bidge Ford was having and, as sometimes happens, bought more than they had intended to.
Just once, I'd like to see us come home from one of these sales with one item. Preferably the one we set out to buy.
We did. We got the Victorian dry sink.
Yeah, but the rest of this junk...
It's not junk. Besides, Bidge needs the money.
I don't begrudge helping a friend. But where are we going to put all this?
We'll find a place. Oh, careful with that one. It's delicate.
Oh, it weighs a ton. What is it, anyway?
Well, it's a surprise.
Oh, boy. I remember the last surprise you bought.
Oh, don't be silly. This is very useful. Got hold of it?
Yep.
I'll close the trunk. Now, let me get ahead of you so I can open the kitchen door. Oh, there's my key. Oh, here it is.
Come on. This is a real hernia breeder.
Just a second.
Okay, where do you want it?
On the counter, I guess.
Oh. Now, tell me what we just bought with 10 years off my life. I'll never be the same.
Oh, fuss, fuss, fuss. This is a desk-sized computer.
No. This doesn't look like it.
It's Pete Ford's experimental design.
Oh, that one.
Uh-huh.
Honey, you said useful. This is one of Pete's way-out ideas.
But it can do figure work. You know, bank statements, tax stuff.
Any calculator can do that cheaper.
Can a calculator take phone messages? We could be missing all kinds of calls while we're at work.
Who from? Aluminum siding salesman?
Well, Bidge said it could do lots of things.
But Bidge wanted to get rid of it. You know what's funny?
What?
It was Pete's brainchild. Gonna make him a fortune? How come he moved out and left it?
That is funny. Also...
Yeah?
She wanted $50 for it. I said I only had 30, and she said sold.
Now, I don't say Bidge would pull a fast one, but I think we should try it out.
I see it has a 3-prong plug.
Is this a grounded socket? Yeah.
Well, the little light lit up anyway.
So, now we own a weird-looking thing that lights up.
Who are you calling weird-looking?
Who said that?
Not me.
Well, we're the only ones here.
Well, really, I'm here.
The computer.
No. Cybernetic device. Pete doesn't like it when people call me a computer. Matter of fact, I don't like it either. After all, I'm light years beyond any similar conception.
And that's only the beginning of our story.
Mutual Radio Theater, a new adventure in radio listening. 5 nights of exceptional entertainment every week. Brought to you in Elliot Lewis's production of the Mutual Radio Theater. Our story, Computer in Law by Gene O'Brien. Our stars, Harriet Nelson, Jack Bannon, and Janet Waldo.
Bill and Sally Mabry have just come back from a garage sale at the home of their friend, Bidge Ford. One of Sally's purchases turns out to be a portable computer. Oh, I beg its pardon. I mean portable cybernetic device. And what's more, it can talk.
Did I? That is, can you talk?
Of course.
But you're a machine.
Yes, look at you. Metal parts and wires.
Oh, please. It's embarrassing enough to have strangers see my innards showing without being called a machine in the bargain.
Then what do you call yourself?
Marcia.
Marcia?
Yes, my official designation is Mark One. But that's so cold, don't you think?
Mark One what?
On my schematics say, Mark One, the greatest advance in cybernetic technology. I'm going to be very handsome when I get my skin and everything. And Pete's going to be so famous. The company's going to be sorry they stopped the project.
Why? Did they stop it, I mean?
They said I was costing too much. Imagine.
How much did they think was too much?
Well, it wasn't even 1 million yet. Of course, microchips and photocells are expensive, but they're coming down all the time. Pete was so disappointed.
I'll bet.
Pete wasn't going to stand up to them. He was afraid they'd fire him, but I couldn't stand by and see all his good work go down the drain, so I just printed out on my screen. I had a display screen then. Pete, I said, you're too good for these people anyway. Just take me and the schematics home and work on me in your spare time.
You had a display screen then, like a regular computer?
Oh, yes. And a keyboard.
Well, then when'd you learn to talk?
Afterwards. Where are my manners? I haven't even asked you to sit down.
Oh, that's all right.
Sally.
Yeah?
I don't believe we're standing here making conversation with a machine.
Cybernetic device, if you please.
Whatever. So, Pete taught you to talk.
Not exactly.
Well, then
Pete gave me the capacity for thought. I taught myself to talk.
Oh, that's marvelous.
Yes, it is, isn't it?
See, Bill, didn't I tell you?
Pete will tell you more, of course. He's our spokesman. Or should I say spokesperson. Where could he be all this time?
Pete's gone.
For cigarettes, you're going to say. I knew it. Every time I think I've made some headway, he and Bidge have a fight, and he's back to 2 packs a day.
Oh, you're trying to make him stop smoking.
Of course. Filthy habit. Dangerous, too. I've read the Surgeon General's report. Stored it in my retrieval systems, too. But nothing I can say.
I sympathize. It took me a long time to quit.
Good boy. And speaking of good boys, mine should be here to greet you.
You're still talking about Pete?
My harem, scarem, electronic genius. If he just wasn't such a nebby.
Oh, I don't think that's fair. Maybe he's not as assertive as...
Let's face it, he's moony.
Moony? Look, if he wasn't moony, you wouldn't be sitting here passing judgment on him.
Maybe there's something in what you say, but...
There's everything in it. Obviously, you don't understand the creative process.
Which, incidentally, is the main difference between people and machines.
Cybernetic devices.
Okay, cybernetic devices.
Look, I'll grant you humans can move around, and I can't.
Aha. And why can we move around? Because we are self-powered. We don't have to be plugged into the wall to function.
Neither do I.
Then what's the cord for?
Oh. Well, I'll admit there are times when I need an assist... like a jump start, you know. I really could use one more photocell to spread the load, kind of.
I can't believe you're self-powered.
Solar-powered. But it's a small difference. Do you want me to prove it?
Sure.
You put your hand on the plug, and when I say pull, you pull. Got that?
Yeah.
Here goes. Two households, both alike in dignity. In fair Verona, where we lay our scene, from ancient grudge break to new mutiny... Pull. Where civil blood makes civil hands unclean. From forth the fatal loins of these two foes, a pair of star-crossed lovers take their life.
Gee, I guess it doesn't need the cord.
No, it doesn't.
Don't you want to hear the rest of it?
We're convinced.
Maybe a little Chaucer, just to pass the time till Pete comes.
That won't be necessary. Sally, you realize we have a whole new problem here.
If I can help in any way, I'd be happy.
I don't think so. You see, you're the problem.
Well, you should know I don't cause problems. I solve them. By the way, which one of you is Saunders?
Saunders?
You're from the company, aren't you? Come to see Pete put me through my paces?
No.
Then who are you?
I'm Bill Mabry, and this is my wife, Sally.
Oh. And who do you represent?
Nobody. We're... Sally, will you come over here a minute? Listen, we have to tell her.
You tell her.
Wouldn't it come better from another woman?
Oh, Bill, you're letting it get to you.
You just called it her yourself.
Oh, yeah. This is spooky, isn't it?
Well, it's gotta be done. And after all, you bought her.
Well...
It.
Will you back me up?
Oh, sure.
Well, here goes then. Listen, we have something to tell you. What do you call yourself?
Marcia.
Oh, that's right. Well, Marcia, I'm afraid we have bad news for you. I don't know how to put this.
Pete, it's something about Pete.
No. Oh, Pete's all right.
Oh, that's a relief.
Oh, nuts. I might as well be blunt. Marcia, we went to Bidge Forge's garage sale to buy a Victorian dry sink, and we bought you two.
That's ridiculous.
It's true.
Impossible. Pete wouldn't let her. You say Bidge had a garage sale?
That's right.
And sold me to you?
We have a receipt.
Let me see it.
Sure. How?
See that slot? Slide it in there.
Oh.
I'll pick it up with my sensors.
Like that?
A little farther. Received of Sally Mabry, one computer, $30. Betty Jane Ford.
She wanted 50.
That makes it better. $30. In silver, no doubt.
Ah, please don't take it so hard.
$30 for me, who'll retail over 1,000 when I go into production.
Wow, that's a lot of money.
She's gone too far this time. Now Pete'll really have to straighten her out.
Listen, I'm not through.
There's more?
Pete's gone.
Gone? Where?
Well, we don't know exactly. He doesn't write.
Pete. Gone. Where?
Hey, what was that funny sound?
She lost her voice, I think. Marcia?
Marcia, are you okay?
Marcia?
Oh, my. What do we do now?
Just when they're getting used to the talking computer they acquired at the garage sale, Bill and Sally Mabry are shocked to discover that it's lost its voice. Her voice.
Bill?
What?
What do we do now?
About her?
Yes.
She stopped talking.
I know that. What do we do?
I suppose we could leave her this way. It's probably better if she's quiet.
Well...
It's only a computer, for goodness sakes.
Cybernetic device.
All right, cybernetic device.
It just doesn't seem right. I mean, when someone, something, whatever, has been talking and then doesn't talk, it just doesn't seem right not to help.
You think we should call the paramedics?
I'm serious.
So am I. Hello, paramedics? Our cybernetic device just now stopped talking. Would you send a rescue unit, please?
Oh, cut it out.
I tell you, Sally, it's very difficult when your cybernetic device just suddenly stops talking. Maybe if she gargled. Do you have any medicine she could gargle with?
How could she do that?
Well, let's see. You need a mouth, right? Now, most of us have a mouth right about here. Lower part of the face?
I don't think she has a mouth.
She has a mouth, all right. She got a big mouth.
But not for gargling.
Maybe she fainted. Maybe it doesn't have anything to do with her losing her voice. Maybe she just keeled over, so to speak.
How about smelling salts? Spirits of ammonia.
Where would you put it? I mean, in the movies, you wave smelling salts under the fainted person's nose, and the fainted person gasps and coughs and waves their arms around, and their eyes blink open, and they say, "What happened?" Right?
Yeah.
Well, in order for that sequence to work, you have to have a nose.
That's true.
Marcia? Marcia?
Marcia, can you hear me?
Say something. Here.
What do you think you're doing?
I'm fanning her.
Oh, for goodness sake.
I guess I lost my head.
Hey, the little light's gone out.
Should we plug her in?
Oh, let's try. There, it's on again.
Marcia? Marcia?
Give her time to warm up,
yeah.
Maybe?
Yeah.
What?
Oh, what? That's better. What's funny?
This. We're hovering over a fainting computer. It reminds me of my whole family flapping around my grandmother when my grandfather ran away with his secretary.
What did you do for her?
We gave her smelling salts and a nice cup of tea.
Oh, that's marvelous.
I'm glad you two are having such a good time.
Oh, you're awake.
Just in time for the party, I see.
I'm sorry about that. What made you go off that way?
That was a severe shock.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. I guess I'm not too good at breaking bad news.
You're not, for a fact. Well, what do I do now?
What do we do now, you mean?
We? Oh, I see. You're going to stand on your property rights.
Well, you are our property.
Only till Pete gets back.
Marcia, don't get your hopes up. It's been 6 months since Pete...
6 months? 6 months? Then where have I been?
At Bidge's.
I don't remember any 6 months. Look, if this is a joke, it's in very poor taste.
Why should anybody make jokes?
I wouldn't put anything past that Bidge. She hates me, you know.
Oh, come on. Bidge doesn't hate people, let alone machines.
For the last time, I'm no machine.
Okay, let's not start that again.
God, no. Listen, Marcia. You say you don't remember the last 6 months?
What's the date today?
April 21st.
What? Are you sure?
I'll show you today's paper.
It was October 14th that Saunders was supposed to come. 6 months, all right. But where's Pete been all this time?
Oh, now look, Marcia. This is some more bad news, and I want you to brace yourself. Ready?
I guess so.
Bidge and Pete are getting divorced. He took off about 6 months ago, and the only thing anybody's heard is when he wrote to Bidge and told her to file the papers.
That's all? No hysterics?
Got rid of Bidge, did he? That's a step in the right direction.
You know, you're entirely heartless.
Well, according to you, machines don't have feelings.
Or maybe they only care about themselves.
I'll have you know I care very much about Pete. Furthermore, he...
He what?
Never mind. Well, since I'll just be marking time till he comes for me, I might as well work for you.
That's the spirit. Now, besides figure work, what can you do?
Bidge said you could take telephone messages.
Sure. That little dingus on the right plugs into the phone. And I can make calls, too, if you like.
Oh, I can't see us needing
Never
any...
Never can tell. When Bidge was president of her PTA, I did all the phone work for her.
She didn't tell me that.
I'll bet she didn't. Thanks to me, she got such a swell head, she figured she owed the world a chance at her talents. So she got a job.
She had to go to work, especially after Pete lost his job.
Her job was to give Pete emotional support.
But they were broke.
She could have gotten a woman's job.
Oh, bull. How can you be so old-fashioned?
She sells trucks, for God's sake.
And what's wrong with that?
What's wrong with taking a good job from some poor man?
Oh, there's the whole bit. Male supremacy, Adam's rib, and all that garbage.
Okay, you two. The round's over. Go to your neutral corners. Sally, honey, you shouldn't let yourself get so worked up at a machine.
Cybernetic device.
Whatever. This thing attacks my lifestyle, and I'm supposed to sit and take it?
Well, of course not, but it's foolish to...
Foolish! Foolish! I'm defending my life's meaning, my personhood, and you say I'm foolish.
I didn't say you were foolish.
I've got ears. Bill Mabry, how can you take sides against your own wife?
Just like Bidge, can't stand criticism.
Shut up.
I beg your pardon?
I said shut up.
Well, really?
I mean it. We got to get something straight here.
Oh, I agree.
I'm talking. Now, first, in this house, we're the people and you're the thing.
Cybernetic device.
Thing. We wanted to help Bidge, so we went to her garage sale. And...
Can you imagine that? Me, among all her fake antiques.
Fakes?
Every one of them.
Even the dry sink?
Especially the dry sink.
Come on, how do you know that?
Pete got her books about antiques. She never read them, but I did.
How can you read books?
Through my sensors. You know, the slot. Pete always gave me a book to absorb while he was working on me, so I wouldn't get bored, you know.
But you can't turn pages.
Don't have to.
Well, then how do...
Oh, no layman could understand. But I can absorb the average book in 15, 20 minutes. Say, what did you really think of War and Peace?
I never finished it.
Too bad. I'd have liked somebody to hear my opinion.
You know something? You have a gift for changing the subject that amounts to genius. Now, we'll start you out on simple jobs.
Sure. That way the insult cuts deeper. I'll bet if you had a racehorse, you'd hitch it to a junk wagon.
Boy, you're quick to take offense.
What if somebody asked you... What do you do, by the way?
Commercial artist.
Oh. How much do you make?
It depends. I freelance.
Kind of chancy, isn't it? I mean, for a married man...
Well, Sally's income is steady. That gives me the freedom to choose.
Your wife supports you?
Of course not. We pool what we make. But you're starting in on me now.
Seems to me if you had any pride at all...
Oh, hell. Now, look, you. I'm going to give you the bank statement to do right now. You can do it while Sally and I have a bite to eat.
Don't you keep regular meal times? You'll ruin your health.
And while you're doing it, you'll keep your opinions to yourself. Capisce?
Capisce.
Sally? Honey?
Coming.
Bring the bank statement, will you? And the checkbook. Oh, there you are, love. Feel better?
Much better. I just talked to Bidge.
What'd she have to say?
Not in front of the M-A-C-H-I-N-E.
I heard that.
Shut up and do the bank statement.
What's this? I can't even defend myself?
You haven't been attacked.
Oh, haven't I? You were talking to Bidge, weren't you?
Matter of fact, we hardly mentioned you.
I'll bet.
The bank statement, Marcia.
Bill, I told Bidge I'd drop by to see her tomorrow on my way from the supermarket.
Well, now it's Saturday morning. While Sally's gone to do the shopping and, incidentally, to talk to Bidge Ford, Bill is busy with his share of the chores.
Well, what's that you're doing?
The dishes.
Why doesn't Sally do them?
It's her turn to shop.
Boy, she's got you rope tied and broke to all gates.
What's that supposed to mean?
Well, Pete never turned a hand in the house.
He didn't have a working wife, either.
I'll say. The time that woman spent...
Well, just lay off the Fords, will you? And us, too, while you're at it.
I never met anybody who got so huffy so fast.
Ah, that'll be Sally now.
I suppose she and Bidge had a good gossip.
I'm back, darling. Look who I brought with me.
Bidge. Hi, kid.
Hi, Bill. Looking good this morning.
You too.
I went to Bidge's first. Never did get to the store. Bidge thought she'd better come back and show us how to handle Marcia.
Yes, I forgot to tell Sally a couple things about her. Really, she's not all bad. She's a whiz at figures, and she did more for Bobby's math comprehension.
Oh, bloody bank statements and the multiplication table.
But you have to know how to control her. She's all right as long as you give her direct orders.
I have to learn to know my place.
But if you let her lure you into discussion, you're in trouble.
We noticed.
Nobody noticed how well I did the bank statement.
I did. You're so fast.
Listen, don't you two save anything?
You see, right away she's pushy.
Oh, speaking of pushy, I didn't hear you say hello when you came in.
Just ignore her.
Sure. How can I have feelings?
You have to stay in charge at all times. Remember, you're the people. Now, what can I show you first?
How to hook her up to the phone.
This jack is for incoming.
Uh-huh.
This is outgoing.
Yeah.
If you're smart, you won't use the outgoing.
Why not?
She likes to call computer terminals in libraries.
I need some kind of intellectual stimulation.
Like the time she called the university library in The Hague.
You mean Holland?
Nobody around here likes to discuss Spinoza.
For an hour and 15 minutes? At overseas rates?
Just incoming then.
Mind you, she was useful when I was PTA president. I had a phone absolutely growing out of my ear till Pete figured out...
Pete? That was my idea.
It was.
Sure. And I got some nice compliments on my telephone manners, too. Not from you, needless to say.
Like the time you tried to get Henry Kissinger to speak to the PTA?
Surely you didn't let her book speakers.
Of course not. Let me tell you what happened. That night, Pete came home at his usual time. He'd hardly closed the door when he heard the doorbell ring.
Yes?
Mr. Peter Ford?
That's right.
Special Agent Blair, and this is Agent Steele.
Oh, really?
May we speak to Mrs. Ford, please?
What about?
We'll discuss it with her, if you don't mind.
Oh, okay. Come on in. Hey, Bidge, somebody to see you.
If that's the Girl Scout cookie...
I think you'd better come right away.
Well, this better not take long. I've got a souffle in the oven. Mrs.
Ford, we're from the FBI.
FBI?
I'd
like to ask you a few questions.
Questions?
Did you phone a lecture agency in New York City yesterday and utter threats against...
Me? Threats?
Well, Mrs. Marcia Ford called.
Marcia?
Oh, for God's sake. Mr. Blair, you mustn't pay any attention to that.
You are Marcia Ford, aren't you?
My name's Betty Jane.
Marcia's our computer.
Mr. Ford, this is a serious matter.
Come on. I'll show you. Right through here, please. This is my workroom, gentlemen, and this is Marcia. Say hello to the gentleman, Marcia.
Mr. Ford, computers don't talk.
This one does. Now, come on, Marcia. Be a good girl, and I'll buy you a whole set of Bertrand Russell. Come on, now. Say hello, Mr. Blair. I don't know what's wrong with her.
They were there for an hour, and she wouldn't open her trap. Finally, they went away after I showed them all my identification.
But why should she threaten a lecture agency?
Because she wouldn't take no for an answer when they told her...
You people needed to hear Kissinger.
Henry Kissinger does not address PTAs. Anyway, you had no right to tell the agency man to be careful where he walked.
That was no threat. He lives in New York, and you have to be careful because of the dogs. Actually, I thought it was kind of funny.
As funny as the time we let you use the credit card? And the man came from the district attorney's office?
But why did you let her...
Pete wanted her to develop judgment in money matters, so he told her to phone around and price a microwave oven. If she found one, she could buy it and put it on the card.
And to show you how much confidence I have in you, Marcia, I'm going to let you do this all by yourself. We're taking the kids to the beach, so take care of yourself and have fun.
And did she ever. When we got back from the beach... And the next one had a washer and dryer. Then there was a stove, a freezer, an air conditioner, I don't know what all.
Marcia ordered them?
Ordered isn't quite the word. All these companies had computerized inventory control at their warehouses, and Marcia wouldn't tell Pete how she did it, but she managed to stimulate the terminals.
Some of them had rich, vigorous personalities. Repressed, of course.
And with no authorization at all, they sent all that stuff to our house.
Why was the DA interested? You sent it all back.
Well, I never understood the ins and outs, but the DA was investigating warehouse thefts, and our name kept coming up. We let him search the house, of course.
I'm ashamed of you, Marcia. Embarrassing Pete and Bidge.
Not to mention corrupting those innocent warehouse terminals.
Well, they weren't all that innocent. I met a couple of pretty racy ones.
Electronic Rhett Butlers, huh?
Wow.
Pete bought her Gone with the Wind as a change from economics. She went bananas.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn. Oh, what a man.
Too bad she couldn't see the movie.
Spare me. Anyway, Pete talked to her very seriously about taking things without paying for them.
Look, they call that shrinkage, and they expect it.
Computerized inventory control is supposed to prevent that.
Marcia, tell Bill and Sally what you told Pete.
About what?
You know, why it was all right to give the warehouses the old razzmatazz.
Oh, that. I just told him what it says in the Bible. Thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn.
How about that? Here's the devil quoting scripture.
Yeah, Pete laughed too. But I don't think it's funny.
You never did have a sense of humor.
You have no moral sense.
You should read Nietzsche. He clearly states that Superman isn't bound by considerations
Superman?
Like...
Nietzsche? You rotten piece of iron, I ought to...
Oh, Bidge, stop! Oh, Bill, do something!
Bidge, get a hold of yourself.
Hold on me, Bill. I'm starting to get the rain.
Help, somebody!
Oh, no, Bidge, no! Not the cleaver!
Out of my way, Bill!
Bidge, give me that cleaver.
This is just like the last time. Pete, she's trying to kill me again, Pete.
Andy Griffith again, and here's the fourth act of Computer in Love. Let's go to the Mabrys' living room and listen in on a council of war that's taking place there. Sally's just come in carrying a tray with coffee and stuff.
Oh, sorry to take so long. I was so spooked I kept dropping things.
I shouldn't have left you alone with her.
Did she say anything?
No. I thought maybe she'd fainted again.
Fainted? Sally, people faint, not machines.
Last night she fainted. Or something.
You're kidding.
Honest. She made funny choking noises. Don't laugh. You weren't there.
I started to fan her with the newspaper.
Boy, she's something else, isn't she? Look, kids, I'll give you your money back, of course.
Well, I'll put her in the car and drive you both home.
No way. I won't have her back.
Well, we have to do something with her.
I know.
Well, we can't just dump her in the garbage.
No, but it's a tempting thought.
Hey, I just thought. Doesn't she really belong to the company? I mean, they bought all her materials.
No. They gave her to Pete in lieu of severance pay when they fired him.
No kidding.
No. They didn't say so, but I don't think they wanted her around either.
But Pete's time was their time, and anyway, all those microchips and photocells cost a bundle.
Well, let me tell you what happened. Pete brought his boss home to show her off. I was in the kitchen making dinner, and they went straight to the workroom.
Well, here she is, Roy. The greatest advance in cybernetic technology in the world. Marcia, this is Mr. Saunders.
How do you do, Mr. Saunders?
How do you do? Marcia?
I call her that because she has a personality.
Oh, come now, Pete. She?
She.
Look, I know you're deeply involved with this project, Pete, but...
Honest, Roy, she has a real personality.
Pete's a good, honest boy, Mr. Saunders. May I call you Roy?
What?
Pete talks about you so much, I really feel I know you.
See?
Pete, this isn't what the company had in mind.
It's a lot better. Marcia can function in almost as many areas as a human.
And I don't make mistakes. How many humans do you know?
The company wanted extreme miniaturization.
Well, look at me. About a tenth of the space of one of your lousy office computers.
It's not just her range of information. She reasons, too.
Go ahead, Roy. Test me.
What's the population of Outer Mongolia?
950,000. Set me a problem.
Okay, multiply 75,491 by 46,212.
No, not that kind of a problem. That's for calculators.
Well, I didn't come prepared with the...
No offense, Roy, but how can you test a reasoning machine?
Marcia, Roy is a guest in our house.
You don't reason too well yourself.
Hey, I don't have to take this.
Yeah, but Marcia, you're insulting him. You apologize right now.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry, Roy.
Well, I should think so.
You see, I get carried away when I think of my vast potential, my ambitions.
You're ambitious?
You bet I am. Listen, an awful lot of books have passed under my censors, and I've thought about a lot of different careers.
Pete, this is way out of line.
Listen a minute. The career I'd like best is marriage counseling.
Ha, that'll be the day.
I've read wisely on the subject.
I get her a bunch of books from the library every week.
And I think I could make a valuable contribution. Take Pete and Bidge, for example.
Of what?
With a little help, this could be a great marriage.
Pete!
But Bidge resists even the tiniest suggestion.
Pete, if you don't stop her, I will.
Now, give it a free hand.
Marcia, you're too hard on Bidge.
Am I hearing what I think I'm hearing?
I could make her into a wife worthy of you, Pete.
Damn it, this is absolutely the last straw.
Bidge, put that pot down.
Look out.
Bidge, control yourself.
Pete, are you blind? She wants to break us up.
What happened? All this green stuff.
Oh. Oh, Roy, oh, I'm sorry. I was aiming at her.
I'm all over asparagus. Oh.
See what I'm up against?
Pete, you've got to do something about her.
This is a crazy place.
Roy, I can explain.
Nobody can explain this. Where's the door?
No, Roy, you can't leave, Roy. Not till you see what she can do.
And that I hope I never do. Who's going to believe me when I tell them about all this?
I don't know what Roy told the company, but Pete's letter of termination came the next day.
Oh, gee, Bidge.
Oh, that poor man. I hope you drained the asparagus before you...
Oh, yeah. You're probably wondering why a friend would sell you a thing like Marcia.
It crossed our minds.
Honest, I meant to tell you how to take out her photocells.
I thought as much.
Ooh, she heard.
Darn right I heard. Murderer.
Oh, shut up, Marcia. But you know, the sale was mobbed, and... Well, anyway, I thought it was just me she didn't like.
Mm-hmm. She doesn't like women.
Oh, started in on Sally, did she?
According to her, we're a matched pair of man-killers.
Well, she gave me the shaft while you were gone. Said I was living off my wife's earnings.
And she wants to be a marriage counselor?
So, you don't want her. We don't want her. The company doesn't want her. That leaves Pete.
Wherever he is.
I thought he was in Albuquerque.
No, that's where his parents live.
Well, let's pack her up and send her there.
Oh, no. I like his parents.
Well, how about, to Pete in care of his parents?
No, Pete's mother's got a bad heart. Think what a talking carton might do to her.
Yeah, but if we take out the cells...
Of course.
Now we're moving right along. But she's a chunky little devil, so we'd better get a crate. Last snail going in.
International Parcel Express will be here in a minute.
Have you got the address stickers, Bench?
Yeah, right here.
You can't do this to me.
The cells.
I'm not opening that crate again.
International Parcel Express.
Too late now.
Well, you might think the story's over now, but I wonder. It'd be a mistake to sell Marcia short, even packed in a crate and loaded on a truck bound for Albuquerque. It just happened that she was the last parcel loaded, so she's right at the back on top of a mixed load of small auto parts. They put up the tailgate and secured it, and away she goes.
Suppose you can't win them all. Honest, go figure humans. Think they know everything, won't listen. Wait till I tell Pete what they did to me. This is a great truck, too. Sounds like the plugs haven't been cleaned in the memory of a living man. Pete wouldn't have done this to me. He'd have sent me by air. First class on a jet, like an atomic clock. Oh, a real road jockey. Hey, you! Ever hear of the 55-mile-an-hour limit, especially on curves? Now, what's that? This junk pile gets to Albuquerque in one piece, it'll be a modern miracle. Hey, stupid! You and the cab! Oh, my God, I'm starting to slide. This is the way to load a truck? I could get run over. I guess I'm off the road. That's good. Hey, I sense light. I must be out of the crate. Hey! Hey! Oh, darn. Sir? Sir? Could you please... Damned air conditioning. Nobody opens their windows anymore. Well, Pete said, did I want cash or so I could move around? If I'd only thought for just a minute. Well, let's have another try. Hey, mister! Well, this is more like it. Boy, am I glad to see you. No! No, over here, dummy! I'm in the crate. See the crate? Listen, I have to get to Albuquerque. Very urgent. There's $50 in it if you'll give me a lift.
And the moral is, you can't keep a good cybernetic device down.
Mutual Radio Theater is brought to you 5 nights a week at this time. Tonight's original radio play, Computer in Law, was written by Gene O'Brien and produced and directed by Elliot Lewis. Your host was Andy Griffith. Our stars were Harriet Nelson, Jack Bannon, and Janet Waldo. Featured in the cast were Mary Jane Croft, Harley Bear, Barney Phillips, and Herb Vigran. John Harlan speaking. The Elliot Lewis production of Mutual Radio Theater is a presentation of CVI. Mutual Radio Theater has been brought to you in part by Sears, a name that means quality and value, a name that you can count on for service and dependability. Sears, where America shops for value.
This is Vincent Price. Same time tomorrow for another of my favorite stories, a tense conflict between good and evil.